What's up, guys? Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Weekly Show. I'm here with
Coach Nick.
Coach Nick, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Very good. How are you?
I'm really well. You know, it's an exciting time in the challenge, right? At the time of recording this, we've just completed the January challenge, and we've just completed the public voting, right? Did you vote in public voting?
Yes, I did as well.
It was definitely tough to select. You know, our favorite transformations.
Absolutely insane transformations. I'm so proud of everybody. Amazing.
And at the time of this recording, I can confirm that the judging has been completed. So our judging team has gone through and went through the difficult process of creating a top 50 and then a top 10 and then selecting our winners. So at the time of the recording of this, we will be announcing our top 50 tomorrow, which is Wednesday, the 28th. So they'll be announced at 2 p.m. That's Melbourne time. So you'll get an email and we'll post it on our Facebook group and probably on the website as well. So the top 50 will be announced tomorrow.
Very exciting.
Very exciting. Then we've also got our live streamed awards night. So it's an awards night that it will be live streamed. It'll be hosted by the two of us, Nick.
It will be.
And hopefully you know about that.
I'm onto it. I've got my outfit sorted already.
So yes, we're going to be live streaming to our Facebook support group, our awards night, where we will be announcing the top 10 and the top 3. We'll also be announcing the People's Choice Award and the Community Award. So it's going to be a fun event. It might go for maybe a maximum of an hour, but we'll have a little slideshow. We'll have everyone's transformations. It will be a fun event.
Oh, so you, it's going to be great.
You, dear listener, you're invited to join us on Friday. That's the 30th of April, so just in a couple of days. We'll be kicking off at 7:30 p.m. That's Melbourne time, so that's Australian Eastern Standard Time.
Yep.
And yeah, it'll be about an hour long, maybe even a little bit shorter. But yeah, it'll be a fun event. It'll be a nice little live stream event. Now, the May Challenge is kicking off in a couple of weeks. So registrations are now open for the May Challenge. So that May Challenge will start on the 17th of May with prep week starting on the 10th of May. So you'll be able to log in to the website from the 10th of May and you can check out all the training plans and nutrition plans, jump on the forum, read all the educational bits and pieces that we have on there as well. And then the challenge will officially begin on the 17th of May. So it's exciting times of the challenge. Definitely
very
is.
Exciting. Very exciting. Yeah, you can absolutely familiarize yourself with everything in prep week, start to plan. We recommend that. And yeah, get into a really good mindset.
Absolutely. And you know, today I wanted to talk about, you know, what it means to be a challenger, right? So we have come up with 10 points or 10 attributes of a challenger. And now, you know, if you join us in the May Challenge or you've just completed a challenge, some of these attributes might be something that you're familiar with. But it's if you want to be a challenger, these are the top 10 things that we want from you.
That's
right? For success.
Basically. Exactly. For success.
For success. Yes. So look, let's kick it off. Number one.
Right.
So number one, I would say, is that to be a challenger, you have to be ready to change.
Yes.
Right?
You have to want to change for yourself, not nobody else wants you to change. It's for you. You have to be able to change for you, because only when you want it and you want it bad enough is it actually going to be something that you're going to follow through with.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this is kind of in the realm of like goal setting, right?
Mm.
Where sometimes we, you follow me with this one, sometimes we want something because we think other people want it for us.
True.
Right? And you know, sometimes, you know, you think that you want to lose weight because other people want you to lose weight. So that goal isn't necessarily your goal.
Mm.
It's what you think other people's goals are of you.
Mm.
And often when we kind of make that realization, that's not when we follow through with those goals, right? Maybe your goal is that you want to be fitter. Maybe you want to feel more confident, or maybe you want to fit in a size 8 dress or something, or maybe you want to be stronger at the deadlifts, right? Sometimes our goal isn't necessarily what we think, you know, other people want of us, right?
That's correct.
So, you know, we need to be ready to make that change and be willing to accept that, you know, our goal might be different to what we might think it is, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you might figure that out along the way and have a light bulb moment and go, this is actually what I want to do it for. And there's nothing wrong with that. If your goal shifts and changes along the way, as long as you acknowledge that, because that's the best way to then go on the right path to achieving that goal and not stopping and not stalling.
Yeah. I agree. And, you know, when it comes to this idea of, you know, readiness to change, we do need to consider our lifestyle, our environment, right? You know, if you've just had your third child and you're just moving into state and you're starting a new job and you've got a million things going on in your life, you might need to stop and reflect and go, okay, am I ready to make this change right now? Versus you might be in a position of your life where you go, well, yeah, like this is the perfect situation to make that change. I am ready to change. So we need to kind of have this internal reflection and going, well, is this the right time? Sometimes you might need to go, well, there is no right time. You know, the only right time is now, or the best time was yesterday to start something, right? But sometimes we need to make that commitment to change where we go, yes, I am ready to change.
Yeah, I am ready to change. And even if it's a small step towards it every single day, it's a step and it's going to get you there. That's the thing. It might seem daunting, but if you're ready to do it and you just contribute something into that little bucket of change every single day, it will fill up.
Yes.
Your change bucket.
Your change bucket.
Wish it was the money bucket too, but it's the spiritual change, the physical change.
Yes. Now, look, moving on to number two. Similar to ready to change would be this idea that we need to be ready to challenge our beliefs, challenge the way that we've been doing things. And often we'd have individuals join the challenge who have been training for a long time, or maybe they've been dieting, or they've tried other processes. Maybe they've done other challenges, they've gone on these extravagant diets and all these other bits and pieces in between.
They've been running 10K a day forever.
Yeah. They've been training with 30 sets a day or three times a day, or doing CrossFit, or they've been doing, you know, Zumba classes all the time, or they've been eating, you know, what they think is 1,000 calories a day, or they've been following whatever strategy it is. And often at the start of the challenge, you and I, Nick, we're spending all our time trying to convince, to sell, to challenge other ways of beliefs to follow something that might be a little bit more evidence-based, something that we know is more consistent with the literature. We know that is successful for long-term transformation, right? So for someone to be a successful challenger, they need to be ready to challenge themselves, be ready to challenge their beliefs and challenge the way they've just always been doing something.
That's right, because if it was working, they wouldn't be seeking out extra help. No. So that's let's keep it real. So that's what you've got to ask yourself. You've got to say, why am I not where I want to be? And it's maybe because you need to challenge your beliefs.
Yeah.
So be open-minded.
Yeah. And what's that Einstein quote where insanity is repeating the same thing and expecting different results? Yeah, something like that.
Expecting different results. That's right.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying anyone's insane, but sometimes, you know, it feels like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it can really actually feel quite frustrating when you think you're doing the right thing and you dedicate time to things and nothing changes for you. So we actually understand that.
Yeah.
We really do.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes like within your training, you do need to kind of come in and you know, shake the nest a little bit, where you might be stuck in a rut where you go to the gym every day. You've been doing that for 10 years and you're not seeing any results. You might not be pushing yourself to a certain level. You might be training with the same split forever. You might be doing the same weights forever. And it might take you to come into the challenge, try something different, and then continue to see those results that you've been looking
for. That's right. Because you might have even been doing too much as well. And sometimes, you know, oftentimes less is more. We always talk about how recovery and things outside of the gym are what is actually going to produce the results for you. So remember that as well. More is not more.
More is not more. Unless it's more, but then it's two more.
Yeah, then it can be way too more. Way too much more. You don't want too much more. More of more.
All right, moving on. The number three, we have this idea of never being satisfied. Right? And I guess when we consider this idea of never being satisfied, we kind of want you to think of this idea of always seeking improvement, right?
That's right.
Where if you were doing everything, you know, perfectly, if you were doing everything 100%, you know, if you were the model challenger, right, you're not going anywhere else. If you were the peak of everything that you're doing in existence, you're not improving, right? So we want you to be in a position of never being satisfied, right? And, you know, an example with this is this common narrative we see in the challenge where someone might say, oh, my nutrition is 100%.
Mm.
And you would agree with me, Nick, where nutrition is never 100%.
No, never 100%. No,
where it's always a way to get better at it. Let it be
100% way. Yeah.
And it depends on, of course, like how deep you want to go into it, but there's always a way to improve our nutrition. Right?
Definitely. And also to improve so many things around our training and recovery and other things. And just also never be satisfied even with the result that you get. Pat yourself on the back, but then go, what else can I do next time?
Yeah. And, you know, like consider like all the different domains of fitness, right? Like mostly within the challenge, we're looking at things like body composition, right? Mm. Within body composition, we're concerned with fat loss and muscle gain, right?
Mm.
So if we are doing the challenge and we've narrowed it down to fat loss, great. But then we looked at that next step going, okay, well, what about building muscle? What about flexibility? What about your cardiovascular fitness? What about your balance? What about your control, right? What about your technical skill with these exercises and everything in between? So there's always somewhere where we can get better, right?
Mm.
And if you're in a position where you are, you know, satisfied, then you stop growing, you stop improving, you're stagnant, right?
Yeah.
But if we're constantly in this state of never satisfied, always looking to improve, that's when we're guaranteeing that we're always trying to get better.
And it means that we can also just accept feedback sometimes, you know, without taking it personally, and just going, okay, that's great feedback. Now I can take this and I can grow.
Yeah.
And it can be about your training, it could be about your form, it could be about your nutrition, tweaking it. It could be about a result that you didn't get that you thought you would get. All sorts of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you need to just go into it with an open mind, never be satisfied.
Again, closely linked, moving on, we now talk about this idea of failure, right? Because if we are challenging our beliefs and we're never satisfied, we're almost in this position where we're constantly trying to find our weak points, right? And we need to be in a position where we're almost seeking failure. We're almost looking for our weaknesses and then not being afraid to fail, right? And a classic example would be, let's say in the gym, weightlifting, right? If you always played conservative with your weightlifting, you would never be training at a high intensity. True. As in, if you always limited yourself to, let's say, I don't know, 60 kilos on a deadlift and you never wanted to improve that because you were scared that if you put 62.5, you know, those little baby plates on the end, that you would fail that, you would never know if you were going to get that, right? And then if you did fail a lift, I think that's the best thing to happen, right? Because you failed a lift, of course, safely, yes. But if you fail a lift, you know where your limit is, right?
That's right.
You know where you need to improve, right? You know that, okay, my max on a deadlift at the moment is 70 kilos because I can't lift anything heavier. You won't know that unless you failed at 72.5, right?
That's right. You can't be scared to touch those bigger things. And also, even for example, if you do 10 reps in a squat, but they're not with good form, it's better to do 3 and then not be able to get up on the 4th one safely, you know, and actually reach depth and actually feel what's going on for your body and not rush the movement.
Yeah.
And that's far better, you know.
And I think, you know, through my own growth and development in the fitness space, I'm constantly trying to challenge myself in different areas. And there's lots of things that I've failed on. Does that make me a bad person? No. Is that my self-worth? No. But I'm okay with the idea of failure. And failure has become so common to me that it's like, okay, that didn't work out yet. Do I want to continue to pursue this? Yes. Do I want to continue to pursue that? Maybe not that. And I'm kind of testing different things. But then now I'm able to grow because, one, I'm never satisfied. But then, two, I'm always looking at ways to fail. And then I fail better.
Yeah.
And then every time I fail better, I learn something new and I grow and I get stronger and I develop and then I become a better fitness person along the way.
Definitely. I think we have to seek out those corners, those dark corners of failure, because that's the only way we're going to know.
Yeah.
You have to explore.
Yeah. And then even within the fitness space, right? You know, I think all of us have this inherent kind of bias to certain maybe activities or exercises that we know that we're going to be good at. Right. Like for me, I've always been a weightlifter and I'm always biased to go to, you know, the corner of the gym where there's a barbell. I'm going to do deadlifts. I'm going to do squats. I'm going to go and do a bench press. I'm going to lift some weights. And I'm always trying to find ways to challenge myself. Let that be, you know, my little adventure to go run a marathon, which I did a few years ago, or like other long distance events. Like I did that Oxfam 100 kilometer walk and such, and, you know, different events in swimming and cycling and stuff. So I'm always finding ways to being like, okay, my bias is this, but I'm always trying to find ways to fail in other areas so that I can get better at this thing that I like doing, which is weightlifting. Right?
Yeah, I agree. I'm like you. I've done a lot of different things, but I'm not a fail.
No.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the next idea where we're going on to number five here is this idea of being a good beginner again, right? Where now when I go to try something new, even though I've got this nice fitness resume of all these things that I've kind of done in the past, I'm always trying to approach something with a beginner mindset. Right?
Yeah.
And sometimes we forget what it's like to be a beginner again. So, you know, recently I went and bought a keyboard piano. Right. And, you know, everything I do at the moment is very fitness orientated. You know, I'm learning about anatomy, biomechanics, about human physiology, about nutrition, all these like fitness different things. But when I go to learn something brand new that's outside of my scope, I connect with what it's like to be a beginner again.
Mm.
Right. And that makes me a better fitness person because I know, one, what it's like for a challenger to be a beginner again. But then two, I know how to question all the things again within fitness so that I can learn with beginner eyes. Yeah, right?
Definitely.
And that's the mindset that challengers need to get into when they join the challenge, where they become a beginner again and be a good beginner, where they take advice, they learn new things, they challenge their beliefs and expectations so that they can actually grow.
Yeah, and study your training program and your nutrition template and have a look at it and look at the combinations of things and see why they're there and seek out answers as to why it's all there before sort of deciding that you don't like it, that kind of a thing.
Yeah, the classic one that I always puts a smile on my face is when a challenger might go, oh, the training program is too easy, or it seems easy, or it looks easy. And I kind of go, well, have you tried it? And they're like, no.
It's easy. It's day one. It's too easy for me. Yeah.
It's day one of prep week. And you know, it just seems really easy. It's like, okay, like, how about you commit to it and then see how it goes? Or similarly, with the nutrition plan, they might look at that and go, oh, well, this seems like it's too much. Too it's much like, okay, food. Like, what are we basing it on? Like, those types of things. So ask good questions, be a good beginner. So
definitely, and just have open eyes and be a good beginner, be like almost childlike, where you don't bring anything to the plate, and you'll find that, you know, the world opens up to you in the challenge.
Yes. Now the next thing that we can consider of a good challenger is someone who puts in the work.
Yeah,
right? There's no shortcuts at the end of the day. No shortcuts.
Nothing.
So for a successful challenger, or to complete a challenge, they will need to have a strong work ethic and be willing to put in the work.
Absolutely. Right. I like to say sort of a relentless work ethic. I think it's very important. If you just think of yourself as a champion and just think, what would a champion do? Would they set the alarm but then turn it off when it rings, or would they go, okay, there's a reason why I decided I wanted to get up at this time and follow through. So what needs to be done on any given day, you know, write yourself a list and play out whatever needs to be done in that day and then move forward to the next day. You know, get it done.
Yeah. But look, that I think that strong worker ethic like comes across in lots of different aspects, right? You know, from the training side of things, you know, you got to go in there, you got to hustle, you got to like lift some weights, you've got to train hard. The nutritional side of things, you've got to be organized, you've got to do your meal prep, you've got to make sure that, you know, your kids are fed, and you've got to make sure that, you know, you've got a meal for yourself, and you've got to make sure that there's no sweets in the cupboards. Like, there's lots of things to do, and you need to have a strong work ethic, be ready to change, and be ready to take all those challenges, put them all together so that you can get the job done.
True. And the other thing is, it never ends. So you might have done that for 1 week, like your meal prep and other things. You might go, oh, guess what? You have to do it again and again and again and again. So just get used to it.
Yeah.
Just put it into your routine, because you will be doing it again and again and again. And it's actually liberating for you, because once you get into that routine, it'll become a part of your life. So it's not restricting. It's actually liberating, because you can free yourself up in so many other ways. Physically, you can make yourself so healthy and feel so good.
Well, it's kind of like a muscle, right?
Yeah.
Like when we're doing a new routine, or we're putting effort into making that change, at first it's difficult. Just like, you know, the first time you do a squat, it's difficult. The first time you do a bench press, it's difficult. But then as you practice, you get better. Your muscle gets stronger. Your muscle of the routine gets better. And the more work you put into it, the easier it will become.
That's right. And always, it doesn't matter how many times I step into the gym to do a squat, I still find little ways to change things, mm-hmm. or to go, that feels like this or that feels like that. So it's never ending, and the work ethic is, it's very important to put in the work and be conscious of what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And just don't attach emotion to the work that needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say, oh gosh, you know, it's terrible that I need to do this. I can't believe that that has to happen. Don't make it emotional. Just do it.
Just do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's no Nike slogan. But
yeah. Well, it was a good one. There's a reason why it's so popular.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, look, sometimes you might be doing everything perfectly, right? Sometimes you might be, you know, slogging it out. You might be doing all the hardest work. You're the hardest worker in the gym, but you might not be seeing the results that you want to see.
Right? Yes.
And to be a successful challenger, to complete a successful challenge, you will need to have patience.
Patience is so important, because especially if when you're active in the community, you start to see others transform in different ways that you might try and compare yourself to, and then you're not seeing what you think you should be seeing,
mm-hmm.
you can get sort of a little bit impatient.
Yes, yes. And I think sometimes we do, like you said, compare ourselves to other people, right? Especially when we see someone who might be of a similar age, similar gender, similar, socioeconomic environment, those types of things. And we go, oh, well, that person's lost 5 kilos in a week. Why am I doing it? Am I a bad person? No, like, you don't know their situation. You might not know that that person, drinks a lot of alcohol, that might be eating a poor quality of food, who's never exercised before, and then they've quit drinking, quit smoking, started eating more vegetables, and just started a gym program. Of course, they're going to lose a bunch of kilos in that first week. Mm. And you can't compare yourself, who's been training for a couple of years, to this other individual who hasn't been, right? And then you're going to see very, very different responses to
that. Oh, and also the other way around, where with the muscle gain, that's the one where we need to be so patient. That is a mm-hmm. journey.
Yeah.
So we've spoken about this before, but yeah, patience is necessary.
Yes.
For going on the journey of muscle gain.
The other side of patience, I guess, is to consider like your history, right? You know, if you have been someone who's been overweight for the past 10, 20 years, or that weight has crept on for the past 20 years, and now you find yourself looking in the mirror and you're 140 kilos, you may not expect that all that weight's going to go away in a 12-week period or even a year period, right? And you might need to be patient and going, okay, this is going to be a multi-year journey, not just something in 12 weeks, right?
Very true.
And, you know, something that's taken years to happen, it might take a few years to undo.
Well, right? The thing is also, you can lay the foundations in 12 weeks. If you were building a house, you wouldn't want to rush it. You would take a year. Often houses do take a full year to complete,
mm-hmm.
and it's similar. You want to lay down good foundations, and you want to have patience. You wouldn't rush your builders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very, very, very similar. You if you were signing a contract for a house, let alone your body, you would say, okay, let's not rush this.
Mm-hmm.
And also the other thing is, it takes a while, but every single day, if you're putting in the effort, it will pay off eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And also, another thing that I love to say is, in a year from now, where are you going to be if you don't start? So in the same spot.
In the same spot.
365 days. You know, you can make a lot of leeway. You can make a lot of headway in that amount of time, you know. Mm-hmm. So patience, very important. And even when you get good, even when you get, you know, elite, when you get ripped and everything, you still need patience.
Mm-hmm.
Patience is for everything.
Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Now, when we think of the successful transformations that we see within the challenge, or even outside of the challenge, the people that are able to successfully transform their body, their lifestyle, their environment, it's someone who is not doing it alone.
Yeah.
Right? It's someone who is being part of a community, right? And that might be a community of one person, might be a community of a family, or a broader community such as the challenge community, right? Mm. So for a successful challenge, a challenger will need to be part of a community. And sure, there's instances where people are able to do it on their own, but you will need to engage in others so that you can successfully make that change.
Yeah. I've seen people's days absolutely made when they put up a little photo of their progress or what they've done, and people are very quick in the challenge community to encourage that and say, that's so wonderful, you've done such a good job. And then that person just is feeling so good, mm-hmm. you know, from that. And then they'll say it to someone else. And it really, you know, it's like when you walk around smiling, you actually end up feeling happy. It's the same thing, mm-hmm. you know, and being part of that community, you feel really looked after.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the community gets spread out to almost every part of our life, right? Mm. You know, think of like your home community, right? Your family. So if you want to successfully complete the challenge, you may need to have a conversation with your family, you know, your partner, your kids, or the other way around, maybe your parents, and go, well, this is what I want to do. Either A, like, do you want to join me and we'll do it together? Or B, like, will you help me to achieve this? Because ultimately you're going to have those tough conversations with people within your community or your environment. And that could be little things like, oh, I'd like more fridge space so that I can meal prep.
Mm-hmm.
Or, oh, I'd like a little bit more space in the lounge room because I want to do a little workout at home. Or it might be like, oh, I'm going to be late home from work today because I'm going to go to the gym before I come home. Could you look after the kids? You're going to eventually need to have these conversations. And sometimes they're tough. You feel embarrassed. And sometimes, you know, you feel seen, right?
They meet resistance too sometimes. Mm. So there's not everybody's going to want to change their routine.
No.
Because you want more time and space. So it's worth pushing, though.
Yeah.
It's worth having that uncomfortable conversation and hoping that the people that love you actually support you, because it's good to expose what's going on. It's very important to you know, make people realize that you count as well and that you deserve this, because it'll make you a better mum, wife, you know, daughter, son, anything. It makes you better if you can look after yourself as well, and you can get your family involved as well. It doesn't have to be a chore. You can make it fun.
Similarly, maybe a little anecdote of within our little company, Amino Active, that owns Max and Maxine. You know, we're a really close little company, and one of our admin team members, she tells us stories of the previous place that she worked in, where they would constantly have morning teas with donuts and toasted sandwiches and sweets and candies and all these things around the office. But since she moved to this job, you know, we're very big on health and fitness, and of course we're a supplements company. So you know, we would have things like fruit platters and you know, like better foods to eat, and you know, we've got lots of things like water and stuff around, so like a little bit more fitness orientated. And that may be a result of, I guess, what we do, but you may be the instigator of those changes in your workplace. So by you having that conversation to maybe the people you work with, going, oh, maybe like, I'm trying to do this challenge. I don't want to join us for morning tea. Could we have like a fruit platter instead? It might start with, you know, a platter of donuts and a platter of fruit, but you might be the start of a change for other people you work with, right?
Yeah.
Other people in your community outside of your home, that we're now talking about work, where they become interested in health. They're like, oh, well, maybe I am eating too many donuts at work. Maybe I am having too many sweets and having three bottles of Coke throughout the day. Oh, maybe I will go for a walk with you at lunchtime, right? So we're being part of a community and having them help us, well, then inherently helping them as well.
That's right? Exactly right. And a lot of people do want to change. They just don't know where. So they might also start to choose the fruit over the donuts. They just might not realize that that's the first step that they can take. So that comes back to also helping other people. So yeah, just have a bit of fun with it as well.
Which then kind of leads us on into that next point, which is this idea of giving back, right? Where you may be a point within your fitness journey, within your challenge journey, where you may know a couple of things, right? I know a couple of things, you know a couple of things. We don't know everything.
No.
You might know a couple of things, and it's now almost a responsibility for yourself to give back to other people, right?
Yeah.
To help other people with their journey. And that could be simply answering questions online. That could be, you know, telling people that, oh, you're probably better off to have a bit of fruit than eating a donut. Of course, if they ask, because unsolicited advice is never cool.
Yeah, people need to do their own journey, but at the same time, it's kind of, once you reach a point where you've had that transformation, you know, spiritually, physically, all of that, it's really nice to pay it forward.
Yeah.
Just help anybody you can, you know. It's just, it's way more fulfilling. You know, that's what makes our job so awesome.
Yeah. And you think of like your journey going from like a fitness enthusiast to a coach, right? Where, you know, myself, when I was a fitness enthusiast, sure, I like doing X, Y, and Z. But when I transitioned into this idea of a personal trainer into a coach, I had to be a better fitness enthusiast, right?
Yeah.
So for me to
explore everything.
For me to give back to others, I had to be better at the thing I enjoyed, right? Mm. So that forced me to read more, practice more, trial new things so that I can answer these questions. And if anything, my time in being a coach in the challenge, I've learned a lot more about fitness, health, nutrition, coaching, everything in between than I have in my periods before being a coach in the challenge, right?
Mm.
So if you're considering this position where you go, oh, well, you know, I've been training in fitness for a small amount of time. Like, how am I going to continue to get better at fitness? Your next step might be to give back. And that could be that you show some love on our Facebook support group. You give out a few positive vibes. Maybe you answer a few questions for people who are brand new going, a little bit concerned about, oh, what supplement should I get? What gym equipment do I need at home? Like, does anyone have any recommendations on shoes or something like that? You go out there and help. Or you take it to the next step where you volunteer to be a mentor. And this is a free program that we have in our Facebook support group where you can click a few buttons, you become a mentor, and then someone can reach out to you asking you for help. And, it's a completely voluntary thing. You don't need to do it. And if you're worried about your fit, challenge experience and you might need a little bit more help, you might choose to sign up for a mentor. And then eventually when you sign up for a mentor, you become a mentor and then you mentor someone else, right? So you pass it along. You kind of give it and pay it forward, right?
It's very important. Very important in this business. Yeah.
Well, just in this space, within fitness, it's all about helping each other.
It's the only way really, because that's how you get the satisfaction ultimately. I think it's a wonderful thing, and you don't know what it means to somebody just to give them a little bit of encouragement or to help them out. I've often been told that a few words that I've said here and there have really helped somebody. So that's just a great thing to know. It's a great thing to live. I'm happy to be buried. I'm not going to die, but I'm happy to have my tombstone. When people are standing in my grave, they will say she gave something to me, which is probably the best thing, rather than saying I had a lot of things. That's deep. It's the end of the day. We're getting deep.
Look, we've been through 9 of our 10, and we're going to finish up with the big one. Mm-hmm. Big one with a little bit of a twist. Now, within a body transformation program, within fitness, within health, there's a process. Mm-hmm. There's a process that we need to follow, right? And the process changes from individual to individual. And, there are some programs that are very cookie cutter where it's like, okay, you just follow this recipe, off you go. These are the results that you can expect, right?
You can have a choice of 2 things.
Right. And we know that each individual is an individual. They're different, right? You're different to me and I'm different to you listening, and you're different to the next person that you're going to talk to, right? So part of the process is to understand the process and make changes along the way so that it works for you. And sometimes we get caught up with this idea of just completely trusting the process or trusting the recipe, right? Which kind of puts faith into the other thing rather than putting faith in ourselves, right?
And learning.
So, you might have a recipe that you're following. Let's say you're baking a cake. But along the way, you find out that you don't have 3 eggs, you only have 2 eggs. And you go, oh, well, how am I going to continue to make this recipe? Or instead of milk, you have soy milk at home, right? And you go, oh, well, how am I going to continue to make this recipe? So you need to not only trust it, you need to understand it, but then you need to ultimately commit to the process, right? Mm. Where whichever path you choose, you're going to have to walk down that path. You can't walk halfway down one path and then go, oh, well, I don't like this, I'm going to go down the other path, because you won't know where that path leads.
Well, if it's a cake and you put it in the oven, it's already baked. You can't take it out and dismantle all the ingredients and put them back in their packets.
Yeah.
So you better go with that cake and you better just go with it all the way to the end. But you have committed to the process of making a cake, but you've also altered the recipe a little bit because that was what happened at the time.
That's what happened at the time. Yeah. So within the challenge, you receive a training template and a nutrition template. So we're using the words templates because language matters, because it's a template. It's something that should grow with you and should change and develop along the way, right? And that is so that you can commit to the process. We're not just trusting it blindly. No. I want you to challenge the plans. I want you to ask questions. I want you to understand them so that, this becomes a blueprint or a bit of a map so that you commit to your journey, so that you can make that cake, put it in the oven and be like, okay, what's the outcome that's going to happen? Or you're committing down that road and be like, all right, I'm going to walk down this road and find out what's at the end of the road, because there's no point walking halfway down the road, turn around, going down the other road, turning around, going down another road, and then turning around and then starting right back where you started and not actually knowing what's at the end of that road.
And knowing how which road works for you.
Yeah. Because some people like highways, some people like scenic roads, and some people like the dirt roads. They're all okay.
Exactly. Right? And they ultimately will get you to a new level, all of them. It just depends which one you like and which one resonates the most with you.
Yes. So look, we have gone through the 10 points, 10 ideas, 10 themes of what it is to be a great challenger, what makes a good challenger, and what leads to the most successful challenge experience and completion of the challenge.
Yes, we hope you found this helpful, because we did while we were saying it, I think, just to put it out there as coaches. It's good to remember, you know, all of our values.
Yes. So look, as a reminder, team, as of this recording, it's the 27th of April, Tuesday. Tomorrow, which is a Wednesday, we'll be announcing our top 50 finalists for the January challenge.
Very exciting.
This Friday, the 30th of April, kicking off at 7:30 p.m., we have our awards night, and that's going to be live streamed to our Facebook support group. So make sure you head on over to Max and Maxine official challenge Facebook support group.
Yep.
I think I butchered that, but
I think that's pretty much it.
Official Max and Maxine official challenge support group. You'll find our community. We're about 8,000 members strong, and we're going to be live streaming our awards night to that Facebook group, where we'll be announcing our top 10, our top 3, our People's Choice Awards, and our community awards. The May Challenge starts soon, so registrations are open for the May Challenge, and that will be kicking off on the 17th of May, with Prep Week opening up on the 10th of May, so you'll be able to see all our programs. To register for the May Challenge, head on over to maxchallenge.com.au or maxineschallenge.com.au, and you can go through the registration process there.
Very good. I can't wait till Friday.
Friday, yay.
Yay, Friday, yay.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you.